Everything about you was wired and designed to perceive, to recognize, to have fellowship and exchange with the Almighty God. I'm not as good at it as I want to be, but I'm better than I used to be. But it's my yes before he speaks that positions me to anticipate, to lean in. You hear better. You perceive better. I don't know how this works for you. Most of the time when I ask God a question, I don't get an answer immediately. Rarely do I get an answer. Now, some of you, you just have this ongoing conversation, and I'm jealous of you. But just right now, be quiet. I don't want to hear your story. I want you to hear mine. Most of the time when I have a question for the Lord, maybe a scripture, I say, God, I don't understand this. I ran into something this last week. I mean, every time you open the Bible, there's stuff you don't understand. But this one puzzled me. I went, I don't get this. I've done that through the years, and he'll speak to me, but rarely in that moment. It might be a month later. But when you ask the question, you have the responsibility to recognize the answer when it comes. Because sometimes it will come through a friend in conversation, not even knowing that they're answering your question. It may come on a TV show. It may come on a worship album that you're listening to. It may come as just an inspired thought. You're driving down the road and you go, oh, I get it now. But it's because you're in anticipation of the one who speaks, and somehow positioning ourselves as hearers of God is huge. And here's, the Bible says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. What does that mean? Don't discredit infancy. Don't discredit what you think is inability instead of focusing on small ability. I don't know, did that make sense? It made perfect sense to me. When you discount whatever progress you've made and you criticize yourself or think little of yourself because of what you're not, you actually hurt the progress you've made. I've heard people say, well, this isn't revival. I go, well, you know, that 3-foot circle you're standing in, it may not be. In fact, if I got to vote, I would agree with you. I see God do something powerful, and then I watch the critics. Now, I don't mean the people who don't like us. I'm talking about the people who like us. And I'm not saying this to somehow stir up sympathy. I'm trying to point to the fact that sometimes we have a seed that started to grow, and somebody comes in and kills it because it's not a full-grown tree. I remember my first trip to Argentina, one of the first things I wanted to do was go examine this that I had heard about, read about for so many years, the amazing outpouring of the Spirit that they were experiencing. And I wanted to see if it was anything similar to what we were experiencing. And besides the amazing conversations I had with leaders and people that were so affirming to me, I basically went down and came back with this conclusion. The revival there was like a huge, red, ripe, sweet apple. And what we were experiencing had just started to form on the tree. And it might be sour, it might be bitter, but it is 100% apple. And you don't steward this into maturity by discrediting it. Translate that now into your ability to hear from God. Never say again. Never imply again. It's hard for you to hear from God because it's your nature to hear from God. It's your nature. It's who you are. It's in the design. Everything about you was wired and designed to perceive, to recognize, to have fellowship, and exchange with the Almighty God. Everything about you. I'm not as good at it as I want to be, but I'm better than I used to be. And it's not now what it's going to be. But it's my yes before he speaks that positions me to anticipate, to lean in. You hear better. You perceive better. It's the strangest things. I've watched it in meetings where extraordinary miracles take place. And I do so many of these kinds of things with Randy Clark, one of my best friends and a guy I learn from all the time. But I watch him and I learn from him how often there's the most subtle impression. When we think of word of knowledge, when we think of prophetic word, I at least think of something much more obvious. That's a no-brainer. Of course, that's the Lord. Not those. That subtle little impression that says someone was injured in a white van that rolled over. And it's as easy to miss as it is to get. It wasn't demanding. You actually had to lean into it to recognize it. And then all of a sudden, you're fed up with trying to protect your own dignity and your own reputation. And you think, what's the worst that could happen? Nothing. And that's already happening. And then all of a sudden, I was in a meeting where that actually happened. I use that as an example. And there were, I believe, five people in the room that had been in white vans that had overturned. Wow. What are the odds? Yeah. You know, there's a couple thousand people there, but still, what are the odds? That you have anybody in the room that's been in a white van that flipped over. And then to have five that all had the same experience. Four were instantly healed. Just in moments. And the fifth one, I don't know about. But the point I'm trying to make is it's not about signs and wonders. It's not about the prophetic. It's not about any of that. It's about the fact God talks and you hear. Lean in and you'll recognize better what he's saying if you'll just say yes before he speaks. Did I read the passage to you out of 2 Corinthians? Okay, let me just read it to you. I've spoken twice already, and there's one more to go. By the end of that one, I won't even know what city I'm in. Just joking. It's 2 Corinthians 3:16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Strange verse. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You would think the veil is taken away so that a person could turn to the Lord. Backwards. In his mercy, the veil isn't lifted until they turn. Because there's enough evidence to the voice of God in every human being that if there's that turning, then suddenly what has kept them from clear perception of the things of God is lifted and they see clearly. The clarity of sight is the reward for turning. The clearness with which we hear from God is oftentimes the clarity with which he speaks to us and the clarity with which we hear is given to people he can trust with what he says. I know this sounds a little awkward, but there's a different responsibility before the Lord if you receive a slight impression than versus the audible voice. The audible voice, you have no excuses. the subtle impression, it wasn't as clear. We want to grow in the clarity with which we hear. But what regulates that clarity is our yes before he speaks. I know that whenever you talk about leading into the Lord and hearing these unusual things, that I create space for weirdos to rise to their surface. Finally, there's somebody who understands me. And they then have permission to do all these weird things and blame it on Jesus. But I don't ever have the intention of preaching a balanced message. There has to be risk in what I say. Let me rephrase it. The risk for what I say has to be greater than the risk for those who will misuse it. And while I know that people will lean in, quote unquote, and they will do stupid things, and they'll blame it on God, and they'll say, I taught them. There's a whole nother YouTube video right there. The risk is worth it, because maybe there'd be 10 people in this room that will just lean in and hear things that they've never heard before and realize he's been talking all this time. Perceive things about their life, their family, their destiny that have never been acknowledged before. And suddenly there's this domino effect through a family line because somebody was leaning to hear, to recognize. And they said yes before the command came. That's worth it.